God created our universe in such a way that it reveals the truth about Him. God's revelation in creation is a testimony to all people that He exists, that He is all-powerful, and that He is the Creator. But that witness of creation is inadequate in itself. That's why He gave us His special revelation in His Word. And that's why He called us to share the truth of His Word with others. Stephen takes you to Psalm 19 today and a lesson called The Voice of Creation.
Shortly before his death, Carl Sagan, the scientist and popular television host, wrote these rather sad words: "Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves." You know, if King David could have a cup of coffee with Carl and discuss his rather hopeless outlook on life, I'm positive David would have handed him a copy of Psalm 19 to challenge his thinking and also to encourage his heart. This great psalm illuminates the truth that we're not a lonely speck in the cosmic dark. In fact, creation teaches us about our Creator, and here in verse 1 we see that creation reveals the signature of God, who is everywhere present. We're not alone. David writes here, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." In other words, the sun and stars, they're doing more than shining. They are actually speaking volumes about the glory of our Creator. Imagine how tragically foolish it is today for people to worship the heavens when the heavens are actually worshiping God. In fact, by the way, the Hebrew verbs here express something that's continuing in action. So we could translate it this way: the heavens keep on declaring the glory of God. The sky keeps on proclaiming His handiwork. Now, the expression here, "His handiwork," is another way of saying this is God's signature. And like an artist, God has signed His masterpiece. His art collection, then, is on continuous display. So, beloved, as we marvel at the universe, remember, it magnifies the glory of God. Now, secondly, creation not only reveals the signature of God, creation reveals the wisdom of God. Verse 2 tells us here that creation daily, that is, day to day, pours out speech, and night to night, that is, night after night, reveals knowledge. Now, the word David uses here for pours out, to pour out, is typically used for a bubbling spring. And the word for knowledge refers to observable data. So David is saying the creation is constantly bubbling up observable facts about our Creator. I mean, just look at the complexity of the human body. It's an amazing design. Now, at my age, it's not so amazing, but you understand what I'm saying. Study the petals of a flower. Study a blade of grass or the complexity of a snowflake, the precision of an atom, the nature of gravitation. Everything you observe in nature testifies, pours out, bubbles up knowledge of our amazingly wise Creator. Now, of course, this truth has to be suppressed by an unbelieving world. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 that the unbelieving world literally pushes down the truth of creation, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Listen, here's the tragedy of suppressing observable data in this universe. Instead of worshiping, you end up worrying. You end up speculating. Instead of worshiping the Creator, you're left to despair that you're just, you know, alone in the cosmic dark, that you're just a speck of dust flying around the Milky Way. Well, let me tell you, according to the Word of God, this glorious creation It all points to a glorious designer and creator. The universe is his signature, and the complexity and harmony of nature points to the wisdom of our creator. Now, thirdly, David says here that creation reveals the grace of God. He says here in verse 3, "There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice, that of the heavens, is not heard." In other words, there's actually a language of creation. But you've got to have open ears. You've got to have an open heart to be able to hear it. Even when the world refuses the obvious, you know, God in his grace, well, what does he do? He just goes ahead and he paints another sunset in the sky. Let me ask you something. If you were God, would you even allow someone who denies you to enjoy that sunset? I don't know. If I were God, I'd probably make sure it was his last one. You see, the marvels of God's creation given to the entire world day after day and night after night points to his amazing grace. And this creation, by the way, is what we call general revelation. We look around and we come to the obvious conclusion that there's a creator nearby, and everyone can generally assume that truth, just like looking at the complexity and order of your wristwatch that leads you to know that there's a watchmaker. But we still need special revelation. That is, we still need the Bible. General revelation informs the world that a creator exists. Special revelation happens to give us his name. In fact, David now changes his reference to God here in Psalm 19. He began the psalm by calling God El. That's a rather generic name for God. But now beginning here in verse 7, David refers to God as Yahweh, Yehovah, Jehovah, or Lord. This is the name of the personal, loving God who relates to us. So David now begins to describe for us what God's special revelation, that is God's word, can do for us personally, as God relates to us personally. He writes here in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Now, the law is the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. He says here, it's perfect. That means it's complete, it's trustworthy, it's sufficient for your life and mine. So what does the perfect law of the Lord do? Well, verse 7 tells us, it revives the soul. By the way, this is the same word David used in Psalm 23, for the Lord restoring his soul. No matter how far you might stray from your Creator, God has given you an inspired map, his word, to bring you back to walk with him again. Now, David goes on here in verse 7 to give another characteristic of God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Now, this is legal language. Whenever people are called into court, they testify to what they know for sure. So God is testifying that his word is sure. His word can get up on that witness stand and testify to its own truthfulness, because God's word is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So what can you expect the truth of God to do in your life today? Well, David answers that. He tells us here, it makes wise the simple. Now, he isn't referring to a simpleton, you know, somebody who refuses to learn. He's referring to the simple, someone who is uninformed but ready to learn. Over the years, a veteran missionary to Haiti collected the interesting prayers she heard villagers pray in their village Bible studies as they would learn the truths of God's word. One of the villagers prayed on one occasion, "Father, we are all hungry baby birds today. Our heart mouths are wide open, waiting for you to fill us." Oh, that's a very simple but a very wise prayer. Now, David adds another thought here about God's special revelation, the Word of God. He writes here in verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right." Now, precepts are those things that God commands us to do. They're guiding principles. They're like signs along the highway. You follow them in order to travel safely through life. And what do the Lord's precepts do for us? Well, David tells us here that they cause us to rejoice, not despair, not think we're all alone, we're just a little speck out here in the universe. No, to rejoice in life. You see, you happen to have a creator God who not only designed you, but according to David, he delights in you. He loves you enough to have given you a guidebook, a map through life, and then on into heaven as it guides you each day. Now, before we drop anchor in our wisdom journey today, I wonder if you have somebody like Carl Sagan in your life, somebody who denies or perhaps doubts God's existence and as a result feels hopeless and alone and obscure in this cosmic darkness of our universe. Let me encourage you to pray. Pray for the right opportunity to invite your friend, perhaps to read Psalm 19, or maybe to listen to you as you read it. It just might start a conversation that can cause your friend to begin to understand that they're not a speck of dust or an insignificant creature on this little ball of dust hurtling through the universe. No, they are the result of divine creation, the work of a personal God who has a plan and purpose for your friend's life. And while you're at it, don't forget, God has that same plan and purpose for your life as well. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We hope this lesson has blessed you today. Stephen called it the voice of creation. He'll return to Psalm 19 again next time as he continues this wisdom journey. The Wisdom Journey is produced by Wisdom International. We're able to pursue our mission of giving you this Bible teaching because of the support we receive from our listeners. You can make a financial donation at wisdomonline.org. We'd be grateful. Then join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.